Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. For which cause, or more literally, on account of this, based on this, also I was much hindered, that is hindered in many by many things, from coming to you. But now, having no more or no longer place in these parts or regions, and having a great or strong desire for many years to come to you, whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I hope to see you while I journey, and to be brought on my way there by you ahead, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it pleased the ones of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor of the saints who are in Jerusalem. It has pleased them, and they are debtors. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, that is, the Jews, they are in debt also to minister to them in fleshly things. When therefore I have completed this and I have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you or through you into Spain. And I'm certain that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The book of Romans is known as the constitution of the Christian faith. Paul has laid out for the Christians in Rome and for us the teachings of all the doctrines that make up the Christian faith. When he came to chapter 15 at verse 14, he began to sign off the letter, but what is interesting about his style is that he presents these three things about him personally in doctrine form. So he's still teaching doctrine, though he's using his own personal life and personal ministry to exhibit that doctrine. And from chapter 15, verse 14, through to the end of the chapter, we have the doctrine of the providence of God. The doctrine of the providence of God. We saw in verses 14 through 21, Paul shared from out of his preaching, from out of his ministry. And he presented two concepts to us and for us. In chapter 15, verse 18, he says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ did not work out through me, for obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed." So the first concept about his ministry that he is sharing with us is that the things that he shares is what Christ has worked out through him, not what somebody else has said, but what Christ has worked out through him. And we spend a lot of time, but just let me remind you in summary, because this is very important. The Bible connects us with the early church from over 2,000 years ago. We have no living people today who walk with Jesus here on the earth or who were in the early church that could tell us what Jesus taught and what he meant. So God inspired those of his servants to write down in letter form to the various churches the various doctrines and teachings that come from Christ. But we're learning backwards, because for them, it was their experience of Christ first, and they wrote down that truth on paper. For us today, we're doing it backwards. We're learning from paper what the teaching and truth was back there 2,000 years ago, but we don't have experience. And we fill our mind with the knowledge of God and of His Word, but the real fulfillment of the truth of God's Word is when God's Spirit takes the truth of that Word and works it out in our life to where it becomes part of us, becomes part of our character. It becomes part of our person. So Paul says when he's out preaching, he says, I will not dare to speak of things which Christ did not work out through me. And we have a tendency today, more than at any other time in church history, that people graduate from Bible school, they get their minds filled with knowledge of the Bible, and get out and try to preach or teach and run the church strictly based on an intellectual, academic understanding of the Bible from the school where they came from. Without much development of a spiritual relationship with Christ. They've yet to learn how to walk by faith. They've yet to learn about the providence of God. So I think it's interesting that Paul says, I don't speak of those things except what Christ has worked out through me. So that the Gentiles will be obedient. You see, he didn't want to see just people saved. He wanted to see people obedient to Christ in speech and in activity. He wasn't interested in creating religious robots. The second concept's in verse 20. Yes, so I have strived, I have aimed to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, in order that I should not build upon another foundation. I'm not going to go into territory where somebody else is ministering and build upon somebody else's ministry. If God has led them to a certain area that has not known Christ, Paul says, I'm going to stay away from that because that's their ministry. For some strange reason, we think today that if there's a ministry of Christ in a certain area, that we need to be there too. We've had people come out here and want to start churches and start fellowships. And I knew about it because out of respect for us, they came and checked with me since I'm the local pastor. We will let you know that we're going door to door. And we're telling people about our church and about Jesus Christ and about that we're thinking of starting a fellowship out here. Even had a church approach us many years ago and said, what time do you get out of church? That's a loaded question because I don't know. But I said, you know, about 12:15. Well, can we use your church around 1 o'clock for our church services? Well, we already have a church out here. What do you need another church service for, you know? Well, obviously, to have another church service out here means that we're not doing the job or they don't agree with us, so they're going to bring the truth in. Paul says, I will not build upon another person's ministry. If God has them there, if that's their calling, one of the things that Paul had in mind that he realized about himself was that everybody doesn't need me. You know, Paul could have walked in and said, I'm the Apostle Paul. Who are you? Bob? Hi, Bob. I'm the Apostle Paul. Obviously, you don't know what you're doing because I'm the Apostle Paul. No, he trusted in the providence and sovereignty of God that God has others who are ministering, and it's just as important in support of them as it is to not interfere with them. And so in verse 21, in fulfillment of this, of the ministry of the Gentiles, he quotes from Isaiah 52, but as it is written, to whom it was not announced, they shall see, and they who have not heard, they shall understand. And that's the Gentiles. And so Paul says, my ministry is to the Gentiles, as it is prophesied by Isaiah, that these Gentiles who did not have the law, did not have the word of God, they did not have the word announced to them. They did not understand the things of God. God says to them, I will open up their understanding and I will open up their hearing. So Paul says, that's why I'm out preaching. But for today, we begin a section, verses 22 to 29. We had the preaching of Paul. This is the plan for Paul. The plan for Paul, verses 22 through 29. In verse 22, he says, concerning his circumstances, he says, for which cause, or more literally translated, on account of which? On account of what? What he just quoted from Isaiah chapter 52, the ministry to the Gentiles. For which cause, or on account of this, also I was hindered by many things from coming to you. Very interesting statement. I was hindered by many things to come to you. I want to point out two things about the verb hindered. First of all, it is called in the Greek language the imperfect tense. Imperfect tense denotes continuous action in the past. So when he says he was hindered, he was continually hindered time and time again as he tried to get to Rome. Remember, Paul had never been to Rome. Even when he wrote this letter, he wrote ahead of his coming there. Secondly, of this verb, it is the passive voice, which means the hindrance and hindrances that came to Paul were from external or outward circumstances, not from within him. So he says, I was hindered continuously as I tried to get to Rome, hindered by my circumstances. He also announced to them in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was not allowed, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He says, oftentimes I tried to come to you, but I was not allowed. It's like, well, who's going to stop him? The Lord. Secondly, notice that he was hindered by many things or many times. The example of this is in Acts chapter 16, verse 7. He's after they came, were come to Mysia. They came into Bethania, but the Spirit did not allow them. Here's the gospel team wanting to go into a certain area in Asia, but God's Spirit wouldn't allow them. Not that there was some kind of mystical message, but that God himself has ways in which he guides his people. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 tells us, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You can plan your life all you want to. We do have to make plans. We can't just sit around and wait for messages to come down from heaven. But we also have to understand that our steps and our direction is ordered by the Lord. So in many times we find conflict. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Paul made an interesting statement. He says to them, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence only, not in heart, we endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and even twice, but Satan hindered us. Interesting statement. Paul makes a statement as if it's fact. Satan hindered us. No elaboration, like this should not happen, but a factual statement that Satan hindered us. Please note that in that text, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, that in that text, Paul didn't say Satan hindered the will of God. Satan hindered us. So in Acts, the Spirit of God prevented them from going to certain places to preach the gospel. Paul even recognized that Satan himself was involved in some of those circumstances to prevent them from going into certain areas. But he treated it as fact. Nothing to get alarmed about. So some say that Paul, well, he just didn't have faith. If Paul had enough faith, he could have broken Satan's hindrance and could have moved into a certain territory. Now, this is the man who, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, at verse 9, remember, Paul is the one that says, I have a thorn in my flesh. He had a health problem. And he sought the Lord three times to get rid of this health problem. And God said to him in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. To get healed? No, to live. God doesn't have to remove it. God's grace is sufficient for you. God says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Please note the detail of what is said. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. It isn't the Lord that gives me strength. He is my strength. There's a difference. When God puts me in circumstances where I am humanly and physically weak and I have run out of human resources to handle the situation, I naturally turn to Him and say, Lord, I am weak. I need a little shot of something here, you know, to get the human back up to what it's supposed to be. God's message to us is, no, those circumstances were put there to make you humanly weak, so that Christ can be our strength. He doesn't give us strength. He gives us Himself. So when Paul realized this, he said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in stressful situations and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He didn't say that when I am weak, I become strong. When I am weak, then I become strong, because Christ is my strength and I am the weak one. So Paul didn't try to claim promises to try to get Satan and the difficult circumstances out of his life. Paul's faith was in the providence of God. He didn't see Satan as a problem because he belonged to Christ. And if God allowed Satan to stop them from going into certain territory, Paul accepted it as being God's will. Now, we talked about this once before, and two people got very upset with me for saying this, but I want to clarify some things. In reality, because God is God, He speaks to us in all things. I don't mean mystically, little voices, and some of you might think I hear little voices. The example I gave was, if I was out of a job and I was on my way into town for a job interview, I have to be there by 8 o'clock. If I miss the 8 o'clock deadline, forget the job. But I need a job. So on my way into town, as I'm going through the little country roads, all of a sudden I get a flat tire. Well, I got 10 minutes, maybe I can make it. Get out. I don't have one, I have two flat tires. Then I begin to realize I'm not going to make that appointment. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I need that job. That's the way God moves in our lives. If he doesn't want me to make it to that job appointment, something's going to happen where I can't make it. You know why? Because I don't know. God doesn't send messages down to me. I trust him in his providence and in his sovereignty that he's ahead of everything, even Satan himself. That doesn't mean I'm going to go around shaking Satan's hand and make him my buddy. But there are things that happen in this earthly life. And how God speaks to his people and moves in his people's lives. James, in James chapter 4, he says, remember, don't say today and tomorrow we're going to do this, we're going to go into town, we're going to go into a city and stay there for a year and sell a bunch of things and make a profit. But rather say, if the Lord wills. Now what he meant by that is, you have to plan. That's a responsible thing to do. But you have to plan with the stipulation that God's will might not be that plan. Therefore, I think I'm going into the city for a year, and I think I'm going to sell, I think I'm going to make a profit. At least that's what I think I should do. But I might not even make it to LA. I might not even make it to that city where I'm supposed to go. Something else might happen. Paul put his faith in the providence of God. That all of this was a purpose to either stop me from doing something that I wanted to do that God says, I don't want you to do that. How else does he have, what other way does he have to stop me? Also for me to be dependent upon him, he has to put me into circumstances and situations where my human strength and my human resources are exhausted. In case you hadn't noticed, just in the natural, we don't trust the Lord until we're at the end of our rope. And so, God puts us in those circumstances to where we're just exhausted, stressed. It's to bring us, our hearts, and to bring our attention to the God who created all things and who has designed all of our circumstances to draw us to him and our dependence upon him. Not only so that he can be our sustainer, but we actually get to experience him. And the way we experience him is in our weakness, not in our human strength. Where he just takes over. We give it to him. The plan for Paul. Paul mentions that the Spirit of God hindered them from going into certain areas. Satan hindered them from going into certain areas. There was sickness. Some even died. But Paul saw the whole thing as being God's will. We don't exactly evaluate life that way from the human. But that's what God's word is teaching us. To live by faith and trust the one who is not only creator, but he is the one who is in charge of everything. And he He directs us. He guides us. He does speak to us. I'm not talking about an audible voice. Lord, why can't this thing work out for me? Because it's not his will. It comes from putting our faith in the living God. Not just in principle, but he's alive and he's in charge of everything. Paul would have us to come to know the Lord in this way. That whatever my human evaluation is about the situation or even about myself, strictly from the human, and I do not understand the things of God, I must see it from his standpoint. It's his faithfulness to reach us, to stop us, to guide us, and to provide for us, and to put us in a situation and a position to be able to receive from him. Faith in the providence of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for these brothers who have gone before us. We thank you for raising up Paul. We thank you for the kind of relationship that he had with you, that he could share with us so that we can have the same kind of relationship with the living God. We pray that by your Spirit, you would cause us to grow spiritually, to grow by faith, to, in spite of our human psychological way of evaluating things, in spite of our emotional reaction and feelings about things, in spite of the condition of our physical bodies or even our circumstances, that by your Spirit you would cause us to rise up beyond that, and in spite of all those things still functioning, that we'll put our trust in Jesus Christ. Trust him that he's guiding and trust him to provide so that we can experience the peace of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.